Please turn with me this morning in your Bible, where we will be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And rather than me reading it this morning, it also will be on the overhead. I would ask all of us as a congregation to read this passage of Scripture together. I've read it the last 2 weeks, so I would encourage all of you to be reading it with me this morning. But before we do that, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may hear your word with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read this together, the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. This is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for His holy Word. Amen. For those visiting with us here this morning, we've been working through a sermon series on the armor of God. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about that there is evil in the world and that we can't hide from it. And if we are hiding from it and pretending it doesn't exist, pretty much the devil has you where he would like. Last week, we spoke on the belt of truth and how effective that is, that we have the truth of the Word of God in our lives and how it affects our decisions and how we live going forward. Today's message is coming. It's on the breastplate of righteousness. It's still coming. Okay. I think if we were able to have a choice in the matter today, I think there'd be many Christians who would look at it and say, I'd prefer not to be involved in any spiritual warfare at all. And if you think about that, and if you follow Scripture closely, I wonder just how they would fare if they're on earth during the Great Tribulation, which is described to us in Revelation 9. Because, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is spiritual warfare to the ultimate degree. Back to the choice. The truth is, we really don't have a choice about being involved in a spiritual warfare at the present time on earth. You see, Satan has joined in a battle against God and his people, and guess what? You really don't have a choice whether you're willing to opt in or opt out. So therefore, it's mandatory for Christians to know, to understand about putting on the full armor of God to ensure that God gets the victory. And not Satan. I suppose it's hard to look back and think that there are times, perhaps maybe in my life or in your life, if you reflect on that, I really wasn't too concerned about spiritual warfare. I'm going to be honest with you, perhaps maybe a time in my life, really wasn't too interested in it. You know, you just kind of cruise along in your spiritual life, try not to get your hands dirty. You know, you just focus on life. You focus on your family. You focus on your job. You know, you think about upcoming vacations, retirement, the pleasures of life. And really and truly, it's easy for us to get distracted that way and forget that your spiritual life can be vulnerable because you have not remained focused. One of my professors at Tyndale said, and I shared this with you, that she prayed for protection each and every day as she went and put on each individual piece of the armor of God. She said, if we're unaware that there's not a battle going on, then she said, brothers and sisters, you've lost it. She went on to say that if you're not aware of the devil, then need not to worry, because he's right where he wants you. Negligent of his presence, his power, and his purpose. It sort of often reminds me of that attendance system that they have at Tyndale. You all know what an electronic scanner is. You kind of take your card and you swipe it. And they would have that at Tyndale to prove that you were in class. And usually you could look back and just see who the other classmates are coming in. And as long as you swipe the class, the card into the scanner, that was your attendance. There was no attendance sheet necessary to sign. So in order to maintain your OSAP status at Tyndale, you had to attend a certain amount of classes. And quite often I would see an arm come around the corner with a card in it. Swipe the scanner. And that's all you'd ever see was that arm. They never attended that class. They apparently had done their homework. They showed up for exams. But very few classes did they ever attend. And I sometimes wonder if that's what happens with us in church today. You know, we sort of slip in, we slip out, and nobody knows you. Nobody really knows whether you're attending or not. I mean, you're in church, you listen to the message, and then you just up, leave, disappear, not wanting to be noticed. Sometimes it's so easy for us to live this double standard, this double Christian life. You know, we're so clean and shiny on the outside, but inside, we're so defeated and carnal. Many are not doing that, but there many are. I often wonder if many Christians are sitting in church on Sunday morning and yet the rest of the week they're sitting in the dumps. I've preached on this before and I've said it, and it says that really the church rests on caterpillars. There's true pillars, they say, of the church where it sits, and there's caterpillars can come in and out. They just don't want to be involved. They think it's safer not being involved. And in one respect, it's right, because you can never be hurt. You're never seen as vulnerable. But they're experiencing another kind of level of spiritual warfare that pillars don't. There's no escaping the attacks of the enemy. And being involved in the body of Christ, if they're not involved in that, then their defenses are weak. If you are involved in the body of Christ, you are far stronger to defend the attacks. As I said earlier, I've recently preached on the belt of truth, which involves our level of integrity and involvement in the body of Christ. Truth and truthfulness. If we possess both, then we're not going to play it safe on the sidelines as in the Christian life. You see, the truth of the Word of God is this: we need to be involved. And it's our truthfulness. Our spiritual integrity causes us to respond to the truth and become fully engaged in the life of the church. Dr. James Kennedy had study material that was used for an evangelism training program. And it was interesting that the results had been really shocking when he came from. He said that Christians were asked these questions. Why don't you consistently witness for Christ? Dr. Kennedy said, well, I anticipated the answers to come back were as follows. Number one, I was afraid. Number two, I don't know. Number three, I have very little contact with the unsaved people. But to his surprise, Dr. Kennedy reported that the number one reason that people did not witness for Christ was because of the life I live. In other words, their consciences were guilty about their own personal unrighteousness, that they felt disqualifying them for being a witness for Christ. You see, they were obviously not wearing the breastplate of righteousness. What was the Roman breastplate? Well, it was a tough, sleeveless piece of armor that covered the full torso. It was often made of leather or heavy linen onto which was sewn animal hooves or horns or pieces of metal. Some were made, as this one here is, a large pieces of metal that were molded or hammered to conform or to your body. It reached the neck and the waist. It provided protection with the chest cavity and major organs. You see, without this breastplate, the wounds from swords, spears, arrows, it could cause damage to you very easily in the battle, and you would soon either bleed to death or you could be killed instantly. In ancient Jewish thinking, it was the heart that represented your mind and will. It was your stomach that was considered the seat of your emotions. It's the mind and the emotions where are two areas where Satan will fiercely attack most believers. And obviously, as Christians, we don't wear this literal breastplate. But if we were to put it in today's context, we could compare it to a bulletproof vest. But it's a figure of speech for a spiritual reality of life or death importance. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes four realities that we need to look at this morning in our spiritual life. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes Christ's righteousness. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that Christ became for us wisdom for God, that the righteousness and sanctification and redemption in 1 Corinthians 1:30. You see, when Christ died on the cross, there was two monumental things that had happened. First, he took the sin of the world. Then he took the sin for us. The second is that he also put those who put their trust in him have this righteousness accredited to their account before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 mentions both. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteous of God in him." A great transaction occurs when one gives their life to Christ. We're forgiven of sin. Then we gain the righteousness of Christ in God's eyes. So here's a question, because as Scott was up here this morning inviting people to come to Alpha, and as Ivan prayed about the importance of coming to Alpha and inviting people, why would anyone reject the opportunity to have their sin taken away and righteousness credited to their account is beyond me. You see, when we put on our breastplate of righteousness, we're not putting on our own righteousness. We're still sinners. And we have sins to confess daily. Instead, we're putting on the righteousness of Christ. We are protected by him. Philippians 3:9. When Satan, the accuser, goes before the throne of God and accuses me of being a sinner, God replies and says, "I'm sorry. I don't see John Molinar the way you see him. You see him in his sins, but I see him as my son. I see him in my son, Jesus Christ. And in his righteousness, I don't see a sinful John Molinar. I see a righteous one." That's my spiritual armor. That's what covers my heart and protects it from the fiery darts of the evil one. You see, the devil can get no place in my heart when it's protected by the righteousness of Christ. It is sin in my life that opens the door to Satan. And when I have confessed my sin and am living with the righteousness of Christ protecting my heart, then Satan gets no entrance at all. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes Christ's righteousness. Having the righteousness of Christ does not mean that we can live any way we want to because we're protected by Christ's righteousness. Someone once said to me, "I've given my life to Christ so I can do whatever I like. I can live my life, come and go, do as I please." And just before I die, that moment before it happens, I say, "Forgive me, Lord." I said, what about that stroke? Or that heart attack? Do you have that time? What about the accident? I said, no, when you give your life to Christ, it motivates you to live righteously. We have a defense against the unrighteous Satan who tempts us to be involved in sin. You can't live the life you want. You live the life that you've been given. What we're talking about here is sanctification, and I'm going to get in trouble from Joanne because she said to me, number one thing you must never do is preach using great big words and terms and things like that that you've learned at Tyndale. But really and truly, it can simply be defined as this, becoming in practice of what we are in position. Well, what does that mean? It means this. Positionally, our righteousness of Christ is before God. Practically, we must live in a way that mirrors our position as the righteousness of Christ. Some think that we can only live that way on Sunday and then live like the devil the rest of the week. That thinking represents a complete misunderstanding of what it means to live protected by the breastplate of righteousness. It's not a license for us to sin. You see, if we live a life in obedience to God's command, then the breastplate of righteousness is certainly our protection. But if we live the 6-1 rule, as I said earlier, then we lose that breastplate of righteousness. Sunday as a Christian and the rest of the week as a whatever. Paul in Ephesians 4:24 tells us to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. He's telling us to put it on. It's our responsibility to live in the holiness and righteousness. You see, if we live this perfect, sinless life, we could stand then in our own righteousness. We could stand against Satan. He then would have no entrance in our lives. But we're not sinless by any measure. So we have to have someone else's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ's. We are guilty. We don't often witness to others because of our own unrighteousness. We become powerless. We find ourselves losing these battles in life because we haven't declared our intent to get into the battle of living for Christ. Paul lists in the scriptures that he was beaten. He was left for dead. The list goes on and on. Many terrible situations he faced, and he says that in all the times he was protected by, among other things, the armor of righteousness. He was not up, down from one day to the next. He lived his life consistently for Christ. He was protected by the armor of righteousness. Pastor once wrote that he learned the importance of living righteously the hard way. And as a pastor, it was unfair, he said. He said that when he disagreed with another person, he would just open his Bible to see if he was right or wrong. He said, I sense the Lord telling me to settle this matter and not let my unrighteousness persist. And he said, I sensed when I did that, it was my power that was disappearing when my unrighteousness appeared. As a result, he said, I don't let disagreements linger, or not so much to leave myself vulnerable to the enemy. Because he says, when I do that, I leave my heart unprotected. Dr. Charles Erdman once wrote, one who binds himself about with a determined loyalty to the holy and law of God is secure against the deadly thrusts of the tempter. Knowing that you are right with God and others means that you have the protection of the breastplate of righteousness. Excuse me. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes consistent righteousness. I want us to understand the language that Paul uses in Ephesians 6:14 with the breastplate of righteousness in place. He doesn't say put it on. There's a sense that with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, that it's always on. We're always wearing it. And Paul's language assumes that there's this continual state of wearing this breastplate of righteousness. It's a continual state of walking in the practical righteousness in one's Christian life. Righteousness is not just a Sunday luxury. It's not like you put on your Sunday best, go to church, and you're suited up in your armor. It is a 7-day-a-week necessity. Our positional standing in the righteousness of Christ must be continued as well. If you think that you can step out for a while and not have your breastplate of righteousness on, you know, just you want to take that little break, you're definitely mistaken, because if you do, you're open to the attacks of the enemy. It was Billy Graham who once said, if your heart is not attuned to God, it will become a catch basin for every device of the devil. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes controlled righteousness. The fourth symbolism of this breastplate of righteousness is the controlled righteousness. And that has to do exactly how we achieve and how we live out our lives. You see, all of us, we get discouraged. We fail. Our Christian walk sometimes is kind of like that yo-yo, up and down, up and down. And we're not only alone in our consistent living. We're not alone. The Apostle Paul in Romans chronicled his own failure at living a righteous life when he himself tried to do it on his own. Today we hear all these little secrets of how to let go and live righteous. You've probably heard these little scripture passages. Let God and let go. Let God be God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized in the Spirit and more. Don't get me wrong. These are all true. But we need to let God work through us. In Galatians 2:20, we need to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, we need to be baptized by the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, but there's something else I believe which is really important for us. We need to value the breastplate of righteousness not only for what it does, but for what it protects. Just as the Roman soldier wore the breastplate to protect his heart, as a policeman will wear a bulletproof vest to protect themselves, we need to protect our hearts at all cost. You see, the heart is the seat of our emotion. It's also tied to our physical heart. When we get angry, our heart pumps blood to our face and we turn red. And a little vein pops up on the side here. When we're afraid, our heart doesn't pump as much blood. We then turn white as a sheet. So the emotional and spiritual heart is tied to the physical heart in ways that we often can't control. But there is a part of the life we can control. We can control just how much we love Jesus. Instead of working and working to be better and to become more righteous, we just need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and fall more deeply in love with Him. It's in that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ that will ultimately dictate the degree of righteousness in our lives. Jesus is the issue. Where is our heart in relation to Him? You see, if our heart is committed to Jesus, we won't be trying to see how close we can get to the world without just sinning too much. Because we're trying to get as close to Jesus as we possibly can. If it means giving something up, then greatly toss it aside. You're not giving up anything at all. In fact, you are gaining everything that Jesus Christ has to offer. And that gives us a life beyond what we could ever imagine. Thankfully, our spiritual armor is to be used in battle, in a battle that's already been won. It's been said that when Napoleon Bonaparte attempted to conquer all the kingdoms of the known world, he pointed out to his lieutenants on a map that he said, if it wasn't for that red spot, I would conquer the world. That red spot on that map was the British Isles. I don't doubt for a minute that Satan says the same thing. If it wasn't for the blood of Christ on Calvary, I could rule the world. But because for the blood of Christ, we do not have to live in the fear of the devil. We need only to enter the spiritual battle to which we have been called, aware of its reality and its subtlety. We need to be armed with the truth that that ultimate victory against Satan has already been achieved. Therefore, right at this moment, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. To put on the breastplate of righteousness is to live daily, moment by moment, in obedience to the Lord. This part of armor is for holy living, for which God supplies the standard and the power by which we supply the willingness. It was Corrie ten Boom who said, "Being connected to Jesus in his love, I am more than a conqueror," she said. "But without him, I am nothing." Like some railway tickets, she said, that are sold in America, that I am not good if detached. In the spiritual battle, Satan's going to try and con us with a lie that we're not good enough to be part of God's family. In such circumstances, we need to hold on to Jesus, knowing that he is the one who makes each of us thoroughly equipped. When we put on our breastplate of righteousness, we seek to be Christians. We know that it's a life of integrity, is one that can honestly deal with our failures and help others through the same. Sin is still sin. Failure is still failure. God's standard is the only standard. The key issue is, how do we deal with these intrusions? Let us seek to be equipped with this breastplate of righteousness. It enables us to deal with our failures. It opens up the whole new world of integrity and Christian witness. A breastplate enables us to say, "I will never be able to stand on my own, but I will always be able to stand when I trust Christ alone." Let us pray.